Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
Something really cool that the Lord was showing me, and I just believe it's important for today. So the Lord doesn't put His power, right, on the inside of us so that we would use it. Think about that for a second. Because If you kind of worded that in a crafty way, you can get people to agree, right, with a statement like that. But you know, here's kind of the thing, and we should go ahead and we should just pray. So we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the utterance, Lord. We thank you for the utterance, Father, because the words, Father, we thank you, Lord, that they need to be you. We thank you, Lord, the words need to be you, for that is the only thing that will profit any of us, Lord, is just when the word is you. And we thank you, my God, that it has to be the word of God. The word of God. That's it. We didn't come here for the word of man. We came for the word of God. That's what we need to hear. That's what we accept. And that's how you produce a harvest in our life, is the word of God. By the word of God. That's where faith comes from. That's not the only way that we can grow in you, Jesus, is by faith. And the only way that faith happens is by the word of God. So we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, also that the hearing, Lord, that you give the utterance, and then you give the mind of Christ. You have given us a mind, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that because of that mind that we possess, we thank you, Jesus, that it's been given to us to know, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, that we can confess and say that we're not going to know, but that we do know. The disciples, my Father, were told, Jesus, you told them and you said, but you do know. You know where I'm going and you know the way. They said they didn't, but you said that they did. Lord, why? Because, Lord, you are that way. And you are the truth and you are that life. So we thank you, Lord, that as long as we have you living on the inside of us, we thank you, Lord, that we know. And how will we know, Lord? How can we know the things that we think we don't know yet? And we thank you, Lord, that it's just by hearing. Thank you, Lord, that it's just by hearing. And we thank you, Lord, that you give the utterance and you give the hearing, Lord. And we thank you, my God, that we will speak and we will hear and we will do that at rest throughout this whole service. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's good. So you know what? And that really brings us right into this point, which is really good. You ever just I'll just use a little story just because it's something that comes to mind, right? That you ever watch, and probably maybe the ladies maybe don't very much, but you ever watch a superhero film and be like, you know, man, like if you had a power like that, right, you just, you know, you'd do this and there's so much of power that people have, right? And what's the thing behind that? Behind that is being a hero. But here's the thing that we can't miss and allow a mentality to creep into, right, our understanding of Jesus, right? Is that Jesus hasn't called us to be heroes, right? He's not calling us to be heroes. So since he hasn't called us to be heroes, right? He's not calling us to use what he's given, right? So he didn't give you a superpower and then say, use it for the good of humanity, right? That's not how it is, right? He didn't give you some, because here's what people think, and here's where competition comes from in the body of Christ too, right? That one person, like Pastor Mike was talking about, well, he has a gift of prophecy. So honestly, really, with all kidding aside, they really think that man has a superpower, right? That he has a superpower of speaking, he has prophecy, that's a gift he has, right? And they equate that very easily to a gift that you would be born with, right? If you have this flexibility that you can just fold in half going backwards, you know, like you have to figure out why you were given that, because God intends you to use it, right? God intends you to use that, and then in quotations they say, for his glory, right? But what they think is that God's given you something, and that he wants you to be careful to use it, again, for his glory. But the thing is, heroes don't give glory to God. Heroes give glory to themselves, right? Heroes don't give glory to God, right? So to put it silly, right? Superman doesn't give glory to his daddy. Superman gives glory to Superman, right? So the thing that's good to understand, right? God, and this is as simply as the Lord told me, right? I haven't given you my power, right? I haven't given you my power for you to use it. I have not given you my power for you to use it. Now it's interesting, right? It's interesting because let me show you a verse here, right? And real simply, right? He says that we've not received, right? We've not received, and I might as well just find it for you. 2 Timothy 1:7. We might as well just go there. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. He says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So what we have been given is a spirit of power, right? But it's, listen, this is simple, but I really believe that it's deep, right? It's simple, but it's very deep, right? Because we have been given a spirit of power. We have not been given power. We have been given a spirit of power. We have not been given power, we have been given a spirit of power, right? So what you've been given is a person, right? You have the spirit of Christ, you have Jesus living on the inside of you. The spirit, right? Jesus said that I and my Father will come and we will make our home in you. And you have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer you that live, but Christ that lives in me. Jesus said, it's not I that do the works, but it's the Father in me that's working. And I am busy because my Father's in me working. Let me ask you a question. How was Jesus living? Was Jesus living by his own power? Was Jesus living by his own power? Or was he living, right, by the power, right, of the Spirit on the inside of him, right? Because here's what the Bible says. That God was in Christ. God the Father was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Who was in him? God the Father was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now, are they one? Yes, they are one. And what are we? We are also one with him. We are also one with him. Right? So in the new age, right, in the new earth, right, we will, all of our desires will be exactly, right, as the desires of the Father. Everything that we desire to do will be perfectly in line always with what he wants to do, right? Always, right? There won't be any division there, right? In other words, that's called harmony. And what Pastor Mike was talking a little bit about, unity, right? Unity. So if we see that, I mean, the body of Christ is diverse in that different people, right, major in doing different things. Let me just show you this. So let's finish our thought here and then we'll go. So we've not received the spirit of fear, right? And we also learned that we have not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, right? So it's awesome for us to know we have not been given superpowers, right? We've been given a spirit. We have not been given superpowers, we have been given a spirit. So the things, and this is critical, right? Because here's what we feel sometimes. If you didn't use your superpower for someone to get healed, then you live with the condemnation that they died on your watch, right? But the power is not yours, right? The power is not yours, neither is it for you to use it as you will, right? In other words, this is important, right? The individual is the instrument of righteousness. The spirit is not the instrument. That's important to understand, right? We are called to be instruments of righteousness and not instruments to sin unto death, but instruments of righteousness. We are instruments of God. We were made for Him, right? We were made for His glory. We were made by Him and we were made for Him. He is not in us for us to use Him, right? He's not in us for us to use Him. We don't just tell him like go get him and Jesus just goes to get him, right? We don't boss Jesus around and tell him what we want to do. He is in us so that the will of God can be done through us, right? God was in Christ doing his will through him, right? So everything Jesus did was perfectly in line with the will of God. That's why everything was fulfilled perfectly, and that's why he lived the perfect life. That's the kind of life God wants us to live, a perfect life. How is a perfect life lived? With the perfect one in you, right? Working and doing in you, right? The perfect life. So it's an important thing, really, because we put undue pressure on ourselves as though you could just conjure up the gift. Listen, the Bible does not tell you, ask God to give you a spiritual gift so that you can use it. Listen, the body of Christ believes that they can use their spiritual gifts. You know why they think that? Because they think they can use superpowers, right? That God gives people powers, and it's up to them to use them, right? But how would a man know? You know what I'm saying? I think we watch too much TV sometimes. How would a man know what a person needs? I mean, so do we have to be warned about everything in order to be able to do something? God can go up to, have you go up to somebody and give them a word of knowledge, and you don't know the thing, you don't even know who they are. You never talk to them, you never know what their problem is, and God just speaks something right to them. Now you can't do that if you don't have a superpower, right? Right? Because if all you had was power on the inside of you, you have to know, tell me what's wrong, and I will use my power to help you, but I'll be limited to my gift. Well, I don't have the gift of healing, I only have the gift of prophecy. You gotta go talk to, you know, the other, you gotta go talk to Lindsay to lay hands on you, because I only have the gift of prophecy, you know? And then Miss Tammy has this one, and Miss Marianne has that one, and Brother Andre has this one, right? And Brother Matthew, right? And Mr. Maris. So it's not like that, right? We are not given superpowers for us to use them as we will. The Spirit of God. God, that's why it says, it doesn't actually say, and we might as well just go there so you can see it, right? Right? Might as well just go there so you can see it. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse number 1 doesn't say, it says desire spiritual. In other words, desire that which is of the Spirit. Gifts, if you can see there, where is it? So if you see there, the word gifts in verse number 1, it's italicized. That word gifts is added there. So it actually says, right, follow after charity or love and desire spiritual. But so that really is pursue love and desire the things of the Spirit. So you know what we want? Because that's where our mind is, right? Because we're of the Spirit and we're not of the flesh. So our mind is on the things of the Spirit. So what do we want in our lives? We are mindful of the things of the Spirit, and it's as far as things that would be manifest through you. I mean, listen to what that is. The manifestation of the Spirit. It could come in all kinds of different ways, right? In a word of knowledge, in a gift of healing. It could come in all kinds of different ways, right? It could come in a word of prophecy. So that's all good. All of it is good. And we ought not to listen. We ought to desire the work of the Spirit through us. That's what that is saying, right? But that's not how it's understood. The church isn't taught to say, desire the Spirit of God to work through you. The church is taught, desire what the Spirit can give you so you can use a cool gift and impress your friends, right? That's kind of how it sort of comes out, right? We don't say it in those many words, but it's almost this one has this gifting and he's very gifted here. And then we equate all this stuff like the talents and make it very earthly, but it's really not about that. It's about us not living, and there is a power in us. There is a power in us that is by the Spirit in us, right? And He wants to work through you. He's a person, right? He wants to work through you. That's God's business. You do whatever you want through me. I want it. I want you to work through me. It's no longer I that live, Lord, but Christ that lives in me. And this life that I now live, I live it by faith in you. Let me show you an awesome, awesome verse of faith in the strength of God, right? Psalms, let's do the Psalm 57, I think it is. 27. Psalm 27. Watch how cool this psalm is. Just very good. Psalm 27. You know how bad that is? People that feel pressured. Do you speak in tongues? I speak in tongues. Do you not speak in tongues? Everyone should speak in tongues. But you know, listen. You know, Holy Spirit, you can manifest yourself and you can come out of my mouth sounding like an ape. I don't care. I don't care. You know, it's not about whether, you know, do you have this gift or do you not? If you don't have that gift, you know, you should have that gift. And you should desire. You know, it's not about that. It's about, Lord, you know what people need. And anything that comes out of me is a manifestation for the help of somebody else. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you do. As long as it's you doing it, I don't care what it is. Right? It could be to lay hands on someone. It could be to speak to them something. It could be to give them a word of knowledge. It could be to be a word of wisdom. It could be anything. It really doesn't matter. I just desire the things of God. I want you working in me. I want to be still and rest, and I want you to work in me. Right? It's an awesome thing. It's an awesome, look, Psalm 27, verse number 1 is good. Psalm 27, verse number 1, the Lord, He is the one that is my light, and He is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the one who is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. He didn't give me strength for me to use it and be strong. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength. So I acknowledge you. I acknowledge you, Lord. You are the strength of my life. I don't want you to give me power and for me to feel guilty if I didn't use my superpower when I should have, or that I should have been there in time and I didn't get there in time. This is not me doing it. It's no longer I that live, Lord. It's you living in me. You receive the glory, not me. Right? If you give me a superpower, it's mine. I can use it for whatever I want. It's my glory. Right? I was born with this gift, and I've been given, you know, with great gifting comes great responsibility. Right? That's a bunch of hogwash of people that want to condemn themselves, right? Your responsibility is to hear. That's what God demands and wants from us, is for us to have a hearing ear, right? And whatever the Spirit of God speaks and whatever He wants to do, you do it. The Lord can tell you, go lay hands on them, right? Right? Are you going to lay hands on that person? Yeah, Lord, you can lay hands on them anytime you want. Right? He does that. He's not asking you to do something. The Lord is not in you to ask you to do something. Wouldn't that be a really silly thing, actually? Isn't that a really silly way to think? To think that greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. And God is going to ask you to use Him in you. Right? Listen. God is going to ask you to use Him in you to bring Him glory. Who's the instrument? The Spirit is the instrument then, right? The Spirit is the instrument, not man, right? That's what we'd be saying. If I'm going to use the power in me and He's the power in me, then I'm going to use Jesus Christ in me, right, to do what God wants. Who's the instrument? He's the instrument. But that's not what your Bible says, right? The Bible doesn't call the Spirit of God the instrument ever, right? We are instruments of righteousness. We are the ones that were created for His glory. We are the ones that are used of God, not the Spirit used of men. Right? That's a huge difference from what you normally have roaming around in your brain when we think about the power of God, right? It's Him, right? It's Him that gives you the understanding. And if you don't give me understanding, then I don't know nothing. And that's a cool thing to be, right? To be at a place to say, Lord, you know what? I have no strength and I have no power. You know what He said? In John chapter 17, Jesus said this. He said, Lord, He said, like, I'm just paraphrasing here, but He said, Lord, you did it so good. He said, you chose to reveal yourself to babes. You did it. What does He mean by that? That you chose to reveal yourself to babies. Right? Do you know what that means? That means to those that have nothing and can do nothing, you chose to reveal yourself to them. To the ones that know nothing, you gave them everything. To the ones that think that they understand, right? And to the ones that think that they are proper and have all of this great knowledge, to those they cannot see. Because their own ability that they think they possess keeps them from seeing, right? From having you make, you see what it is? Jesus said this also, right? He taught us so well. He says, right? He didn't come for the seeing. Right? Because if a person sees, he does not need Jesus to make him to see. If a person thinks that he can see, then God is like, so then see then. Because you think you can see, so go on and see how that's going to work for you. When you say, Lord, I cannot see. I cannot understand. I can't see anything. I don't have power to see and understand. I don't have power to see and understand the gospel. I don't have power to resolve these problems in my life. I don't have ability. I don't have what I need. Lord, it's no longer I that live. I don't have it. I don't have the what I need in order to be able to live. Thank God that in 2 Peter He said that He's given us all that we need for life. He's given us all that we need for life. What does He really want us to do? To hear. What does He want to do? Everything. Everything. Everything He wants to perform it. Everything He wants to show. Why? So that the glory and the power, and the Lord has shown us this verse many times, so that the power would be of God and not of men. So you see how that has to be? When something happens through you, it cannot be you. It can't be any of you, because if it's of you, the power is not of God, it's of men. It can't be any of you, so that it can be evident that the power is not of man, but it is of God. Then he is fully glorified, because the fruit is of God. We say that every service, that we will hear it, accept it, and God will produce a harvest in you. The Spirit of God in you will produce that harvest. He will do the work, right? Not us, we just hear. He will do that work. Why is it that we just hear? Because this life that we live by faith, and faith only comes by hearing, so that's all that we do, because that's all that we can do. We can hear. We can hear. And even the hearing that we do it through Jesus, right? Because we're doing it with His mind, right? So we have absolutely nothing to boast about. We have, listen, let me show you, let me just show you. In Psalm 27, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" But why is that? Why would you not fear anyone, and why would you not be afraid? Because greater is He. You know, he's saying, "The Lord is the strength of my life. Why will I be afraid? The Lord is for me, not against me," he's saying. He didn't have the Spirit of God in him like we do. But what do we say today? "Lord, you're in me. The greater power than all this world lives on the inside of me. Of whom shall I be afraid?" They have to be afraid of you. Right? That's who they should be afraid of. They should be afraid of you. They don't have to fear me, but they got to be afraid of you. Right? Men will learn to fear God, right? Especially when they come against a child of His. It's Him. The vengeance is of God. Vengeance is not of men, because men don't have power to take vengeance. Men have power to make things worse, but men don't have the power to take vengeance, right? God, if the vengeance is God, He'll do that. You know, it's such an awesome thing. Look at what He says. He says, "When the wicked came against me," this is a man without the Spirit of God in him, and he is a man that is king. And he knows how to say, and his son knew how to say, "I can do nothing. I can't go." Listen, there are so many people that would be born sons of a king that would say, "I was born son of a king, so of course I can rule." He was born the son of the greatest king that ever lived in Israel, and he said, "I cannot rule your people." So you know what God did? God gave him all of the wisdom. Why? So God would rule. God, listen, see, people get it so mixed up. God didn't give Solomon wisdom so he would rule. God became his wisdom so God would rule. You know, the things that Solomon did were attributed to Solomon by the heathen people of the world, but that was not Solomon. Solomon was not smart enough to do the things that Solomon did. Solomon was not wise enough to amass the wealth that he amassed by himself. He did not become the greatest, the wealthiest man that ever lived in all time because he was just so awesome and because he had financial ability, right? It wasn't. It was God prospering him. God is the one that said, "I will make you wealthy." And God did that. So it's awesome for us to be able to look at the things that men have done in the Word of God and be able to see, you know what, Lord? You were doing that, not Elijah. You were doing that, not Solomon. You were doing that and not David. David didn't kill Goliath. Right? Yet a bunch of children in children's church, right, are taught that David killed Goliath. But David didn't kill Goliath. God killed Goliath. Right? David didn't do nothing. David threw a little rock that wouldn't have killed no 9.5-foot-tall giant. Right? But who did that? God did that. That's why he said, "God will deliver you into my hand." What is it that man knew? God will do it. What was it that Joshua knew when he was going to go into the land? God has given us the land. What is it that every man has ever known, that has ever done anything for God, has known? They know God will do it. The minute men think that God gave me something for me to do it, that's when people fall flat on their face. Right? And it hurts to do that, right? Because you can't. You can't, right? So look at what he says. Just beautiful the way he writes it. He says, "When the wicked come against me," he's talking about people that hate him. "When the wicked come against me to eat my flesh, my enemies and my foes," it says, "they stumbled and they fell. Though an army may camp against me, my heart shall not be afraid. The war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that I will seek. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he will hide me, and he will set me on high upon a rock." Who is it that does that, right? It wasn't David doing anything. It was God setting him up. It was him hiding himself. And you can say, "Well, that's very cowardly." Well, that's a man that knows that he can't, that knows a God, that knows that God will. Right? So when you know that God will and you can't, he becomes your fortress. He becomes your fortress. When you think you can and God won't, right? Then you become your own fortress, right? But that's not, we run to God because He is our fortress and He is our place of refuge, right? So we're not trying to be popular. We're not trying to be known. We're not trying to do something for God. Right? Jesus was not trying to do something for God. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Right? God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Jesus Christ was not trying to do something for God. The Father was in Him working. Right? That's a big difference from trying to do something for God. The church is trying to do something for God. And God wants to do something in the church. Or better said, in the church, yes, but with the church, right? God wants to do it in us. He wants to do it in us and through us. Inside each and every single one of us, God wants to do it. That's an awesome thing that He wants to do. Romans chapter 7, let's go there real fast. Romans chapter 7. You know, once the Lord, you know, teaches you that, you begin to see so many things in a different light. It's not the same anymore. You can't read about spiritual gifts and think, Lord, which is the one that you gave me? He gave you His Spirit. His Spirit has all of them. You know, that's such a bad misconception, right? That this one has this one, and this one has this one, and this one has this one. But the Spirit can work as He wills inside of whoever He wants, however He wants. You know, I mean, the Old Testament says the folks that had faith in God back then, you know, they weren't asking God, can you work with me like this? Can you give me a word of knowledge? You know, we have all these silly words for different powers, right? Because we take them like that. We want powers of different things. But He's not saying that it's spiritual gifts. It's not things that come from the Spirit and He kind of gifted you with them. It's that He's in you. It's that He, like, Lord, you're in there. You're in me. You could do whatever you want. I'm the instrument, right, for righteousness. I am the instrument for you to do all that is righteous through me. You do it all. Paul in Romans chapter 7, the same one that said, you know, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees, you know, circumcised on the eighth day, blah, 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 right? All of that stuff. Yet he says of the commandments, it's blameless, right? But watch what that same man says of that time in his life. That same man, Romans chapter 7, verse 13, I guess is good. Actually, you know what? 9 is even better, right? Verse number 9. If we can just go up a tad bit. He says, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. What's that an analogy of? When he says, I died, sin revived and I died. Who's in control? Sin. Is he in control? No. If he was in control, he can do whatever he wants. But he's not in control. Sin is in control. The power of sin and death is at work in him, and he is no longer in control. That's why he says, I died. It's not me doing it. It's sin working in me now. Right? That's why he said, who will deliver me from this thing that I can't get out of me? I can't even do what I want to do. It is in control of me. I'm the instrument, and that's the power. Sin and death is working in me, and that is the power in me, and I am an instrument, right, to it. That's what the Bible says in that same verse about instruments of righteousness. Do it just like you did it before. He said, you at one time presented yourself as an instrument of righteousness, of unrighteousness unto death. So in the same way, present yourself as an instrument of righteousness. How do you do it? It's you're dead, and that power is what works in you. Except, right, that now you have a person, and not the power of sin, but now you have a person, right? Now you have a person. So, look at what it says. So it says, I was once alive without the law, but the commandment, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to death. Bring is italicized there. For sin. So he's talking about it as, it's not me, it's sin, right? He says, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, killed me. Right? And it killed. Therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin. See, he keeps blaming it on somebody else, isn't it? Doesn't it look like he's passing the buck? He is, because it's correct. It's not me. I'm passing the buck. It's sin. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing. Who was producing it? Was Paul producing it, or was sin producing it? Sin was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin, what is external through the commandment, might become exceedingly sinful. Right? Exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it's no longer I. Listen to what he said. Now it's no longer I who do it. It's no longer I who do it. I'm an instrument. It's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. It's no longer I that do it, but I'm an instrument of sin. He said, just as you loaned yourself as an instrument of unrighteousness, lend yourself also as an instrument of righteousness, right? A slave of righteousness, we're also called. Slaves of righteousness. Just look, he says that, he said, because of the weakness, right? Because of the weakness of our flesh, he says, slaves of righteousness. Because of the weakness of our understanding, he says, right? But what does that mean? Why does he say that? A slave of righteousness. Who's calling the shots? Is the Spirit of God the slave and we are the master? Or are we the slave of righteousness and he is the master, right? So if Christ in me is king, right? And I have been made a slave of righteousness. And obviously, we know that our relationship with God is not like that, right? It's not slave and king. Because he said we are his friends, right? We are sons. But he said because of the weakness of our understanding, he said he used that analogy so the people could understand. He said you are a slave of righteousness. In other words, you can pass the buck like he was doing here. It's no longer I that do it, but it's God that does it. I didn't do it, God did it. Where do you get that from? I got it from Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I that live, but it's God that lives in me. Right? You're passing the buck to him. It's God that did it, not me, right? It's God that did it. So he says, for in... Now this is important, verse number 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform, it said, what is good I do not find. How to perform what is good I do not find. What is he not finding? He's not finding power in him. He's not finding power in him. So what is he admitting in Romans chapter 7? I'm powerless. In other words, I'm impotent. I have no power to do anything good. I have no power to do anything good. And Jesus in John 15 agrees with him and says, without me, you can do nothing. So he agrees with the impotence of men. So men don't have to try to be strong. Men have never asked, God has never asked a man to be strong. Right? God in Ephesians chapter 6 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, right? Just like as you put on Christ, right? He lives. He's doing it, right? Right? It's his sword, right? And what are you? You put your faith in him. You hear, and he does it. And then you know what happens? When he does it, it could be greater than David. When he does it, not it could be. Well, when he does it, it is greater than David. When he does it, it is greater than Elijah. When he does it, it's greater than Elisha. When he does it, it's greater than Moses. When he does it, it's greater. It's greater, right? It's greater, Jesus said, than even what he did. He said, even greater works than these will you do, because I go to my Father. Right? Why? Because he is your righteousness. He is the one that gives you the right to have the Spirit of God come live in you. He said, if I don't go to my Father, I cannot send him to you. But thank God he went, and thank God he sent him to us. So who do you have? You have the one that he sent to us. You have him in you, living in you. So it's so good to declare and to confess and say, Father, it's I don't live, Lord. You live in me. I'm not the one doing it. You that dwell in me, it's you in me doing it. It's you in me doing it. It's you in me doing it. Paul says, he says, how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. So he shows clearly, right? The other side of life. The other side of life is that, see, here's the funny thing is that we've never had power. We've never had power. I mean, how can we call people powerful when the very thing they don't want to do, that's the very thing that they're slaves to doing. The very thing they don't want to do. People that have supposedly, you know, a good heart and want to do good can't do good. They can't live their life and live the way God wants them to live by themselves. Because if they look in themselves, they're never going to find the power to perform that which is good. And we're talking to a man that, right, that was the Pharisee of Pharisees. In other words, among Pharisees, he was the top notch. And he admits, the wretched man that he is, who will deliver me from this body of death? And he says, thanks be to God that delivered me from the body of death and put his spirit on the inside of me. It's just such a cool thing to understand. Listen, it'll take such weight off of our backs. It'll take such weight off of us to think that it's that God is desiring for us to do something. But you can just say, Lord, I'm not strong and I cannot, right? I'm not strong and I cannot. And you know what? And there's so much more. So much more probably that I can share with you on that. But let me just come here because I want to make sure the things that he said, right? The Lord, we went over that. We said, greater is he, right? I'm going through these things because these were pointed things that I know the Lord wanted to make sure that they were said, right? And so I think we always do anyway. We cover everything. But, you know, the Bible says that if the Spirit of God raised Jesus Christ from the grave, and that if we have the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the grave, that same Spirit will give life to our mortal body. You know, isn't it a cool thing? Isn't it a cool thing to see that the power of God inside of Jesus rose him from the grave? And he says, and that same power that rose him from the grave. But you see the connotation there? The power rose him. The power is in you. It'll raise you up too. So the Spirit of God in you will raise you up. Here's a good verse that we didn't go to, right? It's in Peter. And that's a good place to end. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6. And you see, when you hear the things that the Lord has been teaching us, then this makes so much sense, right? It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Right? So, Lord, I have no power, and I'm not trying for you to give me your power so I can use it, but I'm humbling myself under your power. I'm humbling myself under your mighty hand. Right? And he says that when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand, he said that he may exalt you in due time. God lifts you up by his power in you. He is the one that lifts you up. You don't have to ask him to lift you up. You have to ask him when he's going to do it. You don't have to ask him how he's going to do it. You don't have to ask him if he's going to lift you up by giving you a gift of prophecy or the gift of tongues or the gift of this or the gift of that, or if you're going to have words of knowledge. It's just, none of that matters, right? The Lord said that he would lift you up. You desire for the Lord to do anything and everything that he wants to do through you, right? Anything and everything. And he says, and then in verse number 7, he says, casting all of your care upon him because he cares for you. Isn't that awesome? Every single care that we have, right? God will perform the things that are needful to be done so that you don't have to care about those things. Right? David said, they come to kill me. They come to kill me. You're the strength of my life, Lord. I'm not. A king with an army. He says, even if an entire army encamps against me. He said, like, who am I going to fear? Who am I going to fear when God is the strength of my life, right? And it's an awesome thing if we can look at that and say, Lord, you know what? You, Lord, you're the strength of my life. Right? I don't have strength of my own, right? But Lord, it's no longer I that live, it's your power. You live in me, Lord, and your power is in on the inside of me. And Lord, it's no longer me doing it, but it's you now performing it in me. And then you know what? When you face something, when you have a care, when you have a concern, see, everything in your life that you care about is going to require power. Everything that you want to do in your life, every single thing that you want to do, no matter how small, requires power. And when you consider yourself a powerless person, you're going to put yourself to rest. And you're going to say, Lord, now you do it. The one who has power in you, he'll perform it. And he will do it and he will bring it to pass. And it's awesome to have God bring things to pass. It's an awesome thing. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you dwell and you live on the inside of us. Thank you, Lord, that you dwell and that you live on the inside of us, Jesus. Thank you that you live. Thank you that you live, my Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. And it just that does come to mind. That does come to mind, Lord, that in You, Lord, we live. It's in You that we live, and it's in You that we move. And it's in You that we have our being, Lord, our existence, our movement. Lord, all of the things, my Father, this body, Lord, is for You, and You are for this body. So, Lord Jesus, let's break that down, Lord. This body is for You. So, therefore, You operate it, Lord, and You move it, and You do. You do, Lord, whatever You want to do in this body. It's Yours. It's Yours. It's Yours for You to perform. It's Yours for You to speak. It's Yours for You to speak, Lord. It's for you to perform and do things through. It's for You to bring Yourself glory in. It's for You to bring Yourself glory in. The glory, Lord, that You so richly deserve, Lord. So richly deserve. So this body is for You, and You are for this body. So You are for this body, my Father, because You came, and You have come, Lord, into a righteous man's body, and now You're for this body. You're for this body. You are the place, Lord, where this body, Lord, eats. For man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of Your mouth in us. That's how we live now, Lord. That's how we live. Not by the bread of this world, but we live, Lord, not by bread alone, but by every word. But by every word. Again, Lord, what is that doing? Hearing. We live by every word. What is that doing? Hearing Your word. Faith. Faith. You are for this body. You are for this body, Lord. You are for this body, my Lord. Thank You. You're perfect for this body. And thank You, Lord Jesus, that we as Your church, we are the body of Christ. So the body of Christ is for Jesus. For Jesus, for You to do, Jesus, in Your body and with Your body. Delight Yourself to do what You will. Delight Yourself to do what You will. May the will of God be done here on this earth through Your people, just as it is in heaven. Just as it is in heaven. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So we can confidently say, we don't even want to say, Lord, tomorrow we're going to go here and do this or that. But we should say, Lord, as the Lord wills. Why, Lord? Because this body is for You, and You are for this body. And You do with it whatever You want. And I thank You, Lord, that You include us in Your plan. You include us in all of Your plans. And sometimes it seems that when we're being used by You, it's kind of like we know. Sort of like we made the decision, Lord, but we haven't decided anything. You included us in with Your plan, Lord, and You brought it up to our hearts. And we agree. And we agree. We agree that our hearts are good soil. And we'll hear it and we'll accept all that You say. And Lord, You by Your Spirit, You'll produce a harvest. You'll produce a harvest. And we thank You for that, Lord. Thank You for, Lord, allowing us, Lord, to come to You always. To come to You always. And even when we're heavy, and even when we are burdened, we come to You. And we learn and we hear. And then, Father, we find rest for our souls. And we're reminded again that Your yoke is easy. And that Your burden is light. And we praise You and love You. In the name, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.